There's a passage in Luke chapter 2 where Jesus is presented at the temple, and Simeon takes the little baby Jesus in his arms, and he kind of says, I've been waiting my whole life for this moment. And everything had been leading up to it for Simeon, and he had been waiting, as he said, for the consolation of Israel. And then when he holds the baby Jesus in his arms, he kind of says to God, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. My life is complete. You can take me. This is my moment. Who would have thought that one day here I would be on this stage at Central Baptist Church, asked to speak in the morning service? This is unbelievable. I actually thought that, you know, I've got fairly deep roots in this church, as I'll explain a little bit later for those of you that don't know me. But actually, Elizabeth did some research as part of the preparation for this service today and discovered that, in fact, my roots go a whole lot deeper than what I thought. I thought I might have been the first of my family to speak here at CB on a Sunday morning, but I discovered that my grandfather had gone a lot of years before me. 12th of August 1930, 89 years ago, my grandfather spoke at Central Baptist Church. 12th of March 1932, my grandfather spoke at Central Baptist Church. And then we discovered this picture out of the Manawatu Standard, dated, what date is it? The 16th of September 1933, 86 years ago, my grandfather, Harry Harris, my father's father, spoke at Central. So three times! I'm kind of like, it's disappointing. I'm not that. Actually discovered as part of this research that my uncle has a copy of the transcript of that very message that he spoke in 1933. The preeminence of Christ, he spoke from Colossians 1:13. 86 years ago. And I look around here and I thought that I might speak from this very passage, I might speak from this, but just looking around, there are probably some of you that remember that sermon. So I kind of thought I needed to change track just a little bit from that one, in case you're kind of like, yeah, I've heard that one before. But for those of you that don't know me, and there will be plenty of you that don't know me, I am really honored to be here this morning. In my career, I'm senior pastor of Windsor Park Baptist Church, a large and diverse community of faith located in Maranghi Bay on the north shore of Auckland. And I bring greetings from that community of faith this morning, a community that embraces us as a family, and we are part of the wider whānau of Baptist Churches of New Zealand. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I bring not only greetings from that community, I bring greetings from members of that community that have had large parts of their lives in this community. Graham and Alison Crean, who are part of Windsor Park. Neil Pollock, who recently relocated to Auckland and is part of our church. Conway and Mill Bishop, who were here in the 70s when they were here with YFC. And various others that have strong connections, not only to the Manawatu, but to Palmerston North Central Baptist Church. And so I bring greetings from those people who weren't able to be here with you this morning. Other things that I do in life, and it all leads to what I want to talk about this morning, is that I'm just entering my 10th season as chaplain to the Sky Sport New Zealand Breakers. I'm a strong believer in the ministry of the church being expanded beyond the walls of the church and work that out in any number of different ways. And personally, I have found chaplaincy to be an environment where the church can go into our community and into our nation in ways that the church doesn't have access to. I'm a strong believer and a strong proponent of chaplaincy in its global form and the many ways that we do it, in the ways, and you are well represented here with military chaplaincy and with what Bill is going to do. We have a cluster that works in Auckland for chaplains across the sector, and the military guys are part of that, so looking forward to having Bill maybe as part of that. Whenuapai is just down the road from our church as well. So I believe in chaplaincy. My strand is sport chaplaincy, which is again well represented by Willie Bryant, who one or two of you may know, does a bit of a good job around here in Manawatu. And my particular strand is basketball, and really have seen God really blessing that ministry. The what Willie does in basketball here in Manawatu, the opportunities that he has to speak into that community around this area is phenomenal. And pray into that for us. We've had a little vision over the last couple of years, those of us that are involved in basketball chaplaincy, to have chaplains in every New Zealand-based basketball club that plays in the New Zealand competition. I'm within the Australian competition with the Breakers. We have a chaplain in pretty much every team. And this last year, 4 out of the 8 New Zealand teams in the New Zealand League had a chaplain, including Willie here with Manawatu. So we are believing that over the next couple of years, we have a chaplain in every New Zealand-based team. And what God does in that space is phenomenal. I just love chaplaincy generally. So that's what I do. I also bring greetings from John Tucker this morning, the principal of Carey Baptist College. I am privileged to serve as chair of the board of Carey, the theological college of our family of churches. John texted me this morning and said, "Don't be too long, Grant." I know you've been looking forward to this. Just be short and sharp. So we bring greetings from Carey. And greetings also came on Friday night from Charles Hewlett, the national leader of our whānau of churches, who again I know well and have a close relationship with. And so love the Baptist family that we are part of. The Baptist family is my whakapapa. This little community here at Pāmi has been my background, and I'll speak into that in a moment. Closer to home, I am the youngest son of Noel and Nolene Harris, who have been part of this church for 54 years. I think Dad clocked up 50 years of playing the organ when he retired from that a couple of years ago. I'm a disappointment, didn't learn the organ. Sorry about that, Dad, and gave away the organ at Windsor Park a few years ago. So there we go. Sorry. But love music. Son-in-law of David and Joan Cleland's, who many of you will remember, who are big contributors to this church, and married, of course, to Joanne Cleland, that was. So our roots here are very strong. And our family, for those of you that want to know that we've grown up, we have 4 children. Our eldest 2 children, Caitlin, who is sitting to my right up here, and Ben behind her, were both born and dedicated on this stage here at Central Baptist. Sophie and Fraser are our other 2. We have a son-in-law, Andrew, and Caitlin and Andrew were married earlier this year and are expecting their first child in April next year. I'm going to be a grandfather. Check it out. Pretty cool. And Ben is trying to get my job, and he recently got engaged to Jessica next to Caitlin, who's one of my staff. So he's like, "I'm going to marry into that, Dad, and I'm going to take your job and take it away." So if it's true that we do the most significant amount of growth, both cognitively and spiritually, if we do that, most of that growth while we are young, as we're going through our formational stages of life, then the truth of the matter is that this community here at Central Baptist was the most foundational and formational community for me. Born into this church, dedicated down the road in the brick building, and staying here until we were in our late 20s when I was transferred with Westpac down to Wellington and then later into ministry. It has been within the context of this community that we were shaped and that we were formed. And so having been asked to speak at the 125th anniversary means that, you know, I've grown up amongst some of you, and that's why you're kind of like, "Look at him, he's all grown up." From such a shy, introverted, quiet kid. And so I think back to my early days, and I'm really grateful for the things that went on in this church in its early days. The commitment that the church had to children's ministries, that we put on various kind of productions. You might not recognize me there. I'm the cute rabbit. Noah's Ark, obviously. I still remember Dad making the paper mache hats in the garage for us. Those early days of being involved in retelling of the great Bible stories, being involved in children's ministry and having such a high commitment to that with David DeProse, who spoke last night, Bullfrogs and Butterflies. I still remember the songs we used to sing in the upstairs hall down the road there. It gave me confidence to start developing my worldview. It was in the context of mission that I started to discover what the world would be like as we move out from the walls of the church in 1985, being part of a team of people that went from this church to Sydney on the invitation of John Jenks to share creative ministries. And there we are doing some clowning. That's me in the blue in the middle doing some clowning in the transport hub of Sydney at the time. And some people in that picture might recognize themselves dressed up, but what became my brother-in-law to the right there, Daryl and Trish and others. People at the back, more people might recognize themselves right there. There's you, Tony, Brent, and Lockie, and Willie. You're still around, which is a great thing. I was 15, and I recognize that now as part of my early exploration of what it means to be missional people. And as I now disciple and seek to lead young people and lead mission trips to other parts of the world myself today, I reflect back to that trip and to those that led, to those that guided me, to those that showed me that God was at work and could be at work in other parts of the world. It instilled a love for mission in my heart. It was in the context of this family. It was Easter camps that gave me a love for the involvement of music. Some people have traveled more internationally, but Easter camp at Foxton, all those years that we spent playing, and it was in the context of bands and music. And I love this morning, a great joy in my heart, seeing some of my peers, their children now, continuing that tradition on stage with Mark and Amos's kids. I love that. It gave me an environment to be loved and accepted and to explore some of the creative abilities that God gave me that I continue to use to this day. It was in the context of relationships at the very first main stage in Otaki that was the forerunner to what became Parachute. It was in the context of building relationships that I started to develop who I was, where I found environments of trust and faith where I could be myself and discover the way that God has wired me. It was the opportunity to be involved in the earliest days of Te Araha Noa that gave me a heart for the wider extent of the church integrating within its community. And under the guidance at that time of Reese and Lorraine Morgan beginning a Sunday school, and we joke about it, those of us that were involved at that time, we had a little boy that used to spit in our face every Sunday morning. We had to love him. And seeing the development of Te Araha Noa over the years has been formational in my view of the church into our wider community, how we structure, how we integrate, how we become Christ-centered. And to this day, in the various things that I establish and get involved with, I reflect back on those early days. They were formational for me. It was the opportunity to be involved creatively on this very stage in my teenage years that gave me the freedom of expression. Oh, that's you, Mark. I don't know how that got into my slides. Shall we leave that there for... But myself also. It was around that time that Jeff Pound actually banned me from leading worship. For some reason, he said people couldn't take me seriously. I became a senior pastor just to prove him wrong. It was on this stage that I learnt the practices of ministry through music. It was in that baptismal that my faith was affirmed through baptism. It was in this church that Joe and I were married. It was in this place where many of our friends were married, and we became young adults and started exploring what it meant to be part of the world, what it meant to be adults in this world. So it was on this stage that our two eldest children were dedicated. We were married by Jack McFadden. They dedicated Caitlin, and Ian Robertson dedicated Ben. It was in the context of this community that we started to grow and explore who we were as followers of Jesus. I do what I do today because of the foundation that was placed in me by many of you people who were my mentors, who probably rolled your eyes at various times, but allowed us, a generation of people, to be free to explore our faith, to be free to integrate our faith into the lives that we were developing and growing as young adults. And so there is a lot of truth to the fact that Palmerston North Central Baptist shaped my past, that now affects my present, and enables me to build into the lives of the people and the organizations that I am part of that hope to build the same foundation for the next generation of leaders that will rise up in our nation and in our churches. I hope to lead a church that I lead now that provides the opportunity for our young people to experiment, to explore their faith, and to ask the big questions that they are going through in a very different age to what even I lived in. With the advent of technology and social media, the pressures that they face are a whole different kettle of fish to what we went through in our time. We live on the North Shore, a prosperous area of the nation with everything that you would say breeds success, and yet we have the highest teenage suicide rate in the country. Our church began a couple of years ago, the only church-owned charitable social enterprise funeral company in the nation, because we want to be there for people when they experience the tough situations of life. And we get involved with some of these tragedies and these situations, and we're able to offer them the love of Christ in the midst of those situations. I want to build environments in our nation that enables this generation, this younger generation, to be able to put Christ into the middle of who they are and to find their identity firmly and securely in the name of Jesus that we have sung about this morning. And our young people, the next generation, our nation needs to experience the kind of love that we sing about. It needs to experience it in a very personal way, not just in what we read and what we say. They need to experience it in who we are as people. And we can put in the best programs. We can build nice buildings. We can do all kinds of different things, but nothing historically, nothing shows to us that anything is more effective than relationships one-on-one. Love for our brothers and our sisters. Love for people that are going through the difficulties of life. You know, Peter was speaking this kind of language when he wrote a letter to the early church a couple of thousand years ago. We read it. It's in our scriptures. A couple of letters, but we read his letters, his first one, aptly called 1 Peter. And through this letter, we see Peter writing to a whole range of different people who were living in different places that he describes as being strangers in the world. And we kind of think today it's an apt term. Maybe nothing changes. Writing to these Christians who were scattered throughout that time, as it describes in Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, what is today modern-day Turkey. He's writing to these early Christians scattered in these churches, and he was encouraging them to live genuinely and faithfully in places that were difficult for Christians to live. Because they were facing persecution, they were facing trials and temptations of many kinds. They were being marginalized to the side of society. 2,000 years later, we can recognize that we must associate ourselves in that same kind of ways. At the very beginning of this letter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter says he's writing to God's elect. In chapter 2, verse 11, he says that he's writing to his dear friends, getting very emotional with that. In chapter 2, verse 18, he says that he writes specifically to slaves, which is a different kind of slave than what we imagine today. In chapter 3, verse 1, he writes to wives. In chapter 3, verse 7, he writes to husbands. We can see in chapter 5, verse 1, that he writes to elders. In chapter 5, verse 5, he writes to young men. He's writing to a whole range of different people that we see within this letter. But we can see in the middle of this letter, he kind of sums it all up. If you have your Bible with you, I encourage you to open it up. Or open up your Bible app for those of you that are younger. I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 12, and then we'll have a look at chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. It is in the context of this wider group of Christians that Peter is writing to that he kind of sums it up. Here's the words on the screens for those of you with really good eyes. In the context of all of these people, he says, but finally, all of you, no one in specific he's addressing, he's saying all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For, and quoting Isaiah, he says, whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Moving into chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Peter is giving a powerful instruction to the Christians who are living in these scattered towns in this geographical area. In the context of what he's wanting to do is he's wanting these Christians to stand out from the crowd. He's wanting them to demonstrate that the faith that they speak about actually makes a difference. Our little byline that we have at Windsor Park is that we put our faith into action. And it's just a reflection of what Peter is saying to these people. He's saying, if the difference that Christ has made in your life is really effective, then let people around you see that difference. He's encouraging them to be missionally minded through their relationships so that people might see that love really is the answer, as we read at the beginning of the service, 1 Corinthians 13, the great love passage. It's not written for weddings. It's written to the local church. It's written to them in the midst of some of the challenges they were having around the use of spiritual gifts. Paul was saying to them, in the midst of this stuff, love one another. Hang in there with one another. Demonstrate that faith and the love of Christ can exceed the challenges that you are facing. And Peter is just reiterating this to these Christians, encouraging them to walk in truth and to show that by the way that the Spirit leads them in their lives. Peter has a hope that the way that they live their lives might reflect the faith that they have so that people around them would notice. Marginalized as they were through the challenges that they face, that people would see the difference of having Christ with them. And let's remember, this was in the very early days of the church. They didn't have bands, they didn't have lights, they didn't have Facebook, they didn't have courses, they didn't have celebrity preachers like you normally have here on a Sunday. they didn't have buildings. All they had was their lives. All they had was their character. All they had was their heart. And Peter knew that the most significant way that they could influence their world was through love one for another. And because of this, he's really direct. And kind of summing up and bringing everything together, he uses those words that are powerful for us. Above all, above anything else, get over some of your insecurities. Get over some of the challenges that you're having. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Eugene Peterson paraphrases this passage. He says this: most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. Don't you love those words? They need to be put in bold. Most of all, finally, above all. Still to this day, recognize those words as being the most powerful way to change lives. Maybe the Beatles had it right. All you need is love. Last year, there was some independent research conducted here in New Zealand by an organization called McCrindle. It came out of some research that was done in Australia, and some New Zealanders thought, we want to see how this works out in New Zealand. They independently did research of over 1,000 people in New Zealand to get their views on faith and church. And out of that, they wrote a report called the Faith and Life in New Zealand Report. If you've seen it, you'll know that it's not great reading. You'll know that there are significant challenges for the church here in New Zealand. More and more people than at any other time in our modern history are saying that they don't have faith. More and more people than ever before in our modern history are saying, you know what? I'm not connected to church. Spirituality and growth and that kind of area, you know, it's just not something that I'm too interested in. Now, census results that came out recently just fed into that. For the first time in our modern history, more people said that they don't have faith than who said they had faith. It was the first time that that figure's been reversed. We have challenges in the church here in New Zealand. For us, at Windsor Park and with six other Baptist churches that we work with throughout Auckland, we wrote a whole series about that this year. We were so disturbed by the challenges that that means for us. How do we be the church in New Zealand today? How do we integrate faith into the lives of our wider world? People don't just drive past a church and think, you know what, there's a church, I'm going to go in there this morning. Every now and then somebody might do that, but in general, the church in Aotearoa in New Zealand has some challenges. And to you, to those of you who call this community of faith, Palmerston North Central Baptist Church, your community of faith, you have some challenges. We've been celebrating 125 years of history. One only needs to Google Palmerston North 125 years ago to know that the city was very different than what it is today in almost every single way. Population was less than 5,000 people. The Esplanade hadn't even been planted. You name it, things have changed. People have changed. And this church has changed. We've celebrated the advent of birth of buildings over this weekend. We've celebrated amazing foundations and people like me whose lives have been shaped as part of this community of faith. We celebrate history and we celebrate the foundations so that we can look forwards into the future. And so for those of you who are entrusted in the leadership of this place, may we never assume that what we have done in the past is going to be relevant for the future. Our message stays the same. The hope of Jesus Christ, the truth and the reality of the gospel to change lives and to give us hope for all of eternity, that never changes. The way in which we deliver that message, the way in which we speak of that message, the way in which we represent that message in our communities, we need to be constantly aware of the challenges that are in front of us. I have a heart for the Manawatū. It is my foundation. I'm proudly a Palmy boy. But I have a heart for our nation as well. And together, speaking specifically here to New Zealand Baptists, the whānau that I commit my life to, folks, together we can bring the glory of God and we can transform our nation if we have the courage to be creative, if we have the courage to hang in there with one another, if we have the courage to do exactly what Peter is saying to the early Christians. He's saying, you know what? Don't worry about some of the differences that you have. Just love. Above all, most of all, love. We live in such a consumer age now where it's all about us. And if it doesn't suit us, we'll find something else. And we live in Auckland, the most consumerist city in our nation. It's all about us. And the scriptures, what is written to us in the letters to the early church, it's all about the other. And it's such a challenge to change our paradigm. But you know, for 125 years, this church has been one thing. It's been consistent. It's been present. It's been creative. It sought to love its city. But that comes out of love for one another. And my prayer, my heartfelt prayer, is that that will continue to be the case. That this expression, that this finger is part of our wider movement here in New Zealand, will continue to consistently love with grace and compassion, without borders. The heartbeat of what was put into Te Araha Noa will continue to be the heartbeat of this wider community of faith. And you know, I believe in the miraculous. Now, I've come to the conclusion in recent years that I want to seek after the miraculous like I never have before. But the miraculous that I see outlined in Scripture, the miraculous that I think this nation needs to see, is the miracle of love. It's the miracle of perseverance. It's the miracle of forgiveness. It's the miracle of bearing with one another, all of the one another's throughout the letters of the New Testament. I'm super passionate about them. I sound like a scratch record sometime. Because they were written to people like you and I. And it was saying, love one another so that the world would see the transformation that Christ can bring. That is miraculous because clearly we can't do it by ourselves. We can only do it in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So to those of you that are part of this community of faith, to those of you that are part of other communities of faith, to those of you that have gathered from other places and have come here to celebrate the foundations of this church who are now worshiping and fellowshipping in other places, might we all be encouraged to love. Because our nation needs to see it. And in that place, Christ is glorified. I pray that in 25 years' time, when I'm 74 and I'll be sitting in the front row of the photo for the 150th, or close to, that this church will continue to have a legacy of love. And at its heart, love that changed my life. Love that surrounded me. Love that gave me the foundation to become the man that I am today. The foundation that continues to shape our family. And the foundation that I have seen this weekend that continues to touch the next generation. I love the ministry of what I see of Kate. I'm open. I'm going to headhunt her one day. I'm not. Oh, I might. I love the ministry. Don't ever lose your heartbeat for children and young people. Keep investing into those ministries. Never cut your budget to exclude children and young people. They are our future. They are the next generation, and I'm humbled to see it this weekend. I'm humbled to see it through the lives of my friends, those of us that were shaped in this place. I'm humbled to see it in the lives of my children and hopefully my grandchildren. Central Baptist Church, you're an amazing place. May God continue to bless you and lead you and guide you. Might your relationships be the foundation of who you are. And might this city be blessed above all, most of all, finally, because of your love for one another. Let's pray. Father, there's an old song that I learnt in this place. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. And my prayer would be this morning that your Spirit would fall afresh on all of us. No matter where we have come from, no matter where we are right now, Father, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are part of your whānau. We are connected to one another. And Father, might the richness and the depth of relationship, might all that we have received from one another contribute to our love that enables us to forgive and to bear with and to hang out with and to be committed to each other. Father, in a way that our nation maybe has not seen but needs to see. In a nation that is struggling from people who are struggling with their identity, who are struggling to find their purpose, struggling to find their place. Father, might we as your sons and your daughters, those that you have knitted together in our mother's wombs, might we as your people allow your Spirit to work in our hearts. Might we allow you to work in those hard areas, those barriers that we often place between ourselves and you, those painful moments that have caused us to struggle. Father, might your Spirit bring healing and bring comfort. And Father, I pray, first of all, for us as a body of Christ universal across our nation, no matter what denomination we are part of. Father, might you encourage your church to continue to remain faithful to the calling of your word, to be empowered by the power of your Spirit. And Father, as New Zealand Baptists, we are just one part of a much wider body, and yet you've given us some unique distinctives. Father, I pray that those of us that are part of Baptist churches might continue to unite with one another, continue to seek the peace of our cities, continue to work for the glory of your kingdom. Might we continue to encourage one another and associate with one another and help one another. So for the Baptist churches of this area, for CB, for Hokafitu, for Fielding, for Levin, for the others as we look wider, God, rise up amongst us a spirit of cooperation and unity that changes our area. But Father, for those that invest themselves in this community of faith, I am deeply grateful for them. I'm deeply grateful for the heritage of my grandfather, my parents, for those who mentored me, who were my Sunday school teachers, for pastors who nurtured me, who banned me from worship so that I'd have to grow up a little bit, to those who guided me, to those who have continued to pray for me. Father, continue to bless this community. Continue to lead them in ways that are beyond them. And as they go through a period of transition over the next little while, God, might their foundations remain strong. Might they remain committed to being the best that they can be, to represent your kingdom through this community of faith, so that in 125 years' time, God, there'll be a much greater story than we can ever dream of or imagine. And so, Father, we are grateful for this opportunity we've had this weekend to reminisce, to look back. But, Father, we do that so that we know that our present has been shaped, so that we can be your people to allow your kingdom to grow in the future. And so, Father, bless all who are represented here today. Might they know the embrace of your Spirit, and the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and we're going to say some words together. Words of committal before we sing a great song. A great song that many of you will know. And just to prove that I'm mid-aged, I can bring out these older songs. Great is thy faithfulness. Great songs that have been sung by people throughout generations now to declare the faithfulness of God. But these words that we're going to say together are going to be words of thanksgiving for this community and words of committal for us as we go into the future. So why don't we stand together and the words will be on the screen and let's say these words together. Lord God, we thank you for our church, for its past, present, and future gathered here today. This morning, we place it once again in your hands. We place ourselves in your hands and ask that you would pour your Spirit out on us. May your ways be our ways. May your heart be our heart. And may our life together be found always and only in you. Take us, shape us, and use us once more in mission and service to Palmerston North and to the world, that through us the good news of Jesus Christ may be known in our time, and that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord of all. And now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish all of this and far, far more than we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in this church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever. forever and ever. Amen.